Now, I used to think that of all the booklets that United produces, I used to think that the Fundamental Beliefs booklet was the most important one. And actually, about 5 or 6 years ago, I gave a sermonette and explained why it was the most important one. But I've changed my mind. I now believe that there are three booklets together are the three most important booklets. And the title is UCG's Three Most Important Booklets. The first book is what I call the What booklet. It describes what being a Christian is all about. The title is Transforming Your Life. And the subtitle is The Process of Conversion. Let me read what it says over here on page 25. Page 25, it says, "The process of conversion may be simply defined as allowing God to work in us to replace our standards, values, and thoughts with God's standards, values, and thoughts." I think another way we could say that would be that true conversion is changing from thinking and acting like a human to thinking and acting like God under the lead of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. Let's go to Galatians 5. You may know where I'm headed. Galatians chapter 5, here toward the end of the chapter, Paul goes into what might be called the rotten fruit of the human spirit, and then the godly fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's first read verses 19 through 21. He says, "And now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." No, he didn't just say those exclusively. He says, "and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So that's us. Now, you might look at that and say, "Wait a minute, you know, I'm not that. But if you keep reading, you'll go, maybe he's right. Verses 22 and 23, Paul describes what I call the godly spirit, the godly fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and he lists nine things here: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So that's what the Christian walk is all about. In the shortest messages I could say, going from one of those to the other, following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Okay, how do I do it? How do I do that? The second booklet, Tools for Spiritual Growth. By diligently using these tools, we can change from thinking and acting like a human to thinking and acting like God. Diligently, consistently using these tools. Now, if I pick up this booklet and I turn to the first page, I look at the table of contents, I go, I know all that stuff. Right after the feast, Mr. Ledbetter gave a sermon
which I believe was entitled Daniel's Outstanding Prayer. Now, he had 5 points in that sermon. The last four were basically talking about Daniel's his mindset, his attitude, his approach to God, things like that. But his first point, I found quite interesting. His first point was how the prayer came about. Let's go look here. This is in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Okay, Daniel chapter 9. Let's look at verse 2. In the first year of his reign, talking about Darius, in the first verse, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay? So he's basically reading scripture, and then it hits him that, ooh, the 70 years are up. So he's, in terminology that we normally use, he's doing Bible study, reading the Bible, and then he's what we commonly call meditation. I hate the word meditation. You know, when I hear the word meditation, I think of a guy, he's got his leg crossed, he's just staring out in nowhere, sitting on top of a mountain. I prefer thinking about what he's read. So that's what he was doing. And then he came to this realization that, oh, the 70 years are up. It's time to go back. So that leads, verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now the interesting thing is the order here. United's booklet, The Tools of Spiritual Growth, the order of the tools is prayer, Bible study, thinking about what he said, fasting. And that's commonly the way we think about it. I've even given that in sermonettes and used them in that order. You know, there's this old saying that says, we talk to God through prayer, then he answers us through reading the Bible, through his word. So that makes sense that they're in that way. But if you look at what happened with Daniel here, he was reading the Bible, thought about what it said, then that led to the prayer and fasting. That's interesting. Now, in Mr. Ledbetter's sermon, and I think I've got this right, he said of Daniel this, his Bible study released him to pray. His Bible study released him to pray. That's interesting. It's another way to look at these tools for spiritual growth. But you know what? There are more than those four spiritual tools in that booklet. One of them is listed down at the bottom. It's Christian fellowship, spending time with other brethren. And we know from Daniel that the order that they've got them in that book is at the order of importance. Maybe I need to keep this book and read it, you know? Okay, so you've convinced me. Why would I even want to do all of this? Why would I want to transform my life? Why do I want to use these tools for spiritual growth? I know what some of you are thinking. The next book is the Why book. The Why book is entitled God's Holy Day Plan. The subtitle is The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. Now, this is the one book, I do actually read this book every year. Right before Passover, I read the chapter on Passover. During the days of the unleavened bread, I read the chapter on that, and then the next holy day and all the way through. So I actually read this book through every year. Perhaps I should do that with these others too, you know? The spring holy days, which are coming up in just a couple of weeks, they show us a promise that God has made to us. A promise for, well, a promise that goes on each one and culminates in the first of the fall holy days, the Feast of Trumpets, the first resurrection. That's what we're working toward. That's what we're looking forward to. That's a hope that we have. But did you notice what the subtitle says? It doesn't say a promise of hope for me and you. It says a promise of hope for all mankind. Just think about that. We're not being called now just for personal salvation, for eternal life for ourselves. We're being called to be among those who, when the rest of mankind receives their calling, to show them what to do and to actually bring about the transformation of the world the way it is, the way, if you look at the news, look at the way the world is. Transgenderism and all these other things. We're going to have a part in helping those people transform their lives. We're going to show them how to use the tools to bring about that transformation. That's going to be our job. And we're going to get to watch all this happen. That is just simply amazing. Now, I will say this. It's going to be harder for us than it will be for them. And there are going to be times when we're going to just want to quit. We're just going to want to quit. But if we continue to transform our lives now, we continue to use these tools for spiritual growth, we will be there to help the rest of the world make this huge transformation. What a blessing it is to be called now, to have this opportunity. I think I have trouble even saying what I think about it, because I look and I think, wow, you know, this isn't just for me, it's for all those people out there. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that.